Birth, Chapter 30. This is President Robert Ryker of the United States of America. To the Americans hearing this emergency broadcast, I don't know if you voted for me, or even if you know the sound of my voice. I am reaching you as well as the global community through a series of translation computers here at our secure headquarters at the Emergency Alert System. On April 10th, just a few days ago, the Deepwater Horizon exploded and caused the largest oil spill in history. It was a tragedy, to be sure. But there were many who knew it was coming. Oh, perhaps not the exact day, but they knew that the third full moon of 2010 would signal the end of the age, and this would fulfill a prophecy spoken about for more than 5,000 years. Here is what we know. Planet Earth is composed of two complete versions of Earth. One is very high frequency, and the other is low frequency. They were merged together nearly 6,000 years ago, and have been rotating in relative harmony ever since. Until now. The two frequencies were predicted to become out of phase with one another. To make it simple, the higher frequency, Earth, is beginning to separate from the lower frequency, Earth. Many of you already know this. You can feel it. But the majority of the humans alive on this world are trapped in a physical viewpoint of this mortal life. That is the way the low frequency or dark beings in this universe want it. They want you to stay asleep, or they want you to choose violence or greed or lust, fear or hatred. If you do not listen to and act right now on what I am saying, you will miss the transition this higher frequency Earth is about to make. I tell you that you were born here at this time to make that transition. It is your inheritance, if you choose to accept it. There is another heritage on this planet as well. It also has been here from the beginning, and it means to keep you in darkness and doubt. It wins when you decide to choose the accumulation of the material things of this world and to reject mercy and charity and love. It wins when you dig a pit for your neighbor. It wins when you participate in the harm or death of another life. It is important that you stop killing one another, including our unborn children. This dark and terrible heritage is driven by a raging jealousy of the people who have chosen the spiritual rather than the physical aspects of mortal life. The seed of Lucifer, descendants of the first son of Eve, are driven mad with their claim to the birthright of ownership of this planet. They seek to rob you of your inheritance and to doom you to an eternity of darkness. You see it all around you in terrorism, a religion of fear and death, and the constant mantra that there is no dream for you. They do not know what happiness is, because that gift is denied to the wicked. Oh, they know pleasure and all its twisted levels, but they do not know joy. They do not want you to know it either.
I'll be right back. Don't go away. Grab your family and friends, and I'll be right back, said Ryker.
There was the sound of rapid gunfire, and the yelling of men, and the crashing of things to the hard floor outside the radio room. John threw open the door to come inside with Smith right behind him to protect the president. The instant he came inside, it seemed General Cabarrus appeared. Behind him, before anyone could move or respond, there was a loud report from the General's 45. The sound was deafening as the bullet left the barrel and entered the chest of Agent Smith. The rest of the events were a slow blur to Robert Ryker,
The door was slammed shut, and the general began firing rounds at him through the door as he kept moving toward the sidewall away from the series of shots. Just as it seemed he would run out of space to run, the gunfire stopped. It was quiet, but his ears were ringing and the smell in the room was of burnt cordite. He opened the door slowly. The general was down. Bet was seated on the floor inside the radio room, deeply sobbing quietly into her hands with her back against the wall. He walked out of the door for a moment to check on Smith, said something, and was directed back to the microphone at the console. The message. The rest of humanity was waiting on the other end. He sat down and turned the broadcast key to talk. This separation will be cataclysmic, at least as cataclysmic as the joining of the two Earths during the Great Flood. Many of you may die. There are other ways through which you may die in the next few days and weeks. If you do what I ask you to do, it will not matter. The restoration of your spirit to your body will be seamless and painless, if you choose it to be. First, I need you to participate with me in this exercise. You must take a moment to sit calmly and focus on the good in yourself and in others. Develop a love for yourself, and then expand to include other people, even people you do not know. You can call this prayer if you like. You can call it meditation. It is all the same, because you will be led naturally to the same place. It does not matter at all which religion you come from, because the gateway is identical for all. One of the greatest deceptions of the Dark Prince was to create religions and then to make each religion hate the other. These are all the philosophies of men, mingled with truth, so that you will follow it. I am asking you tonight to realize that from here on out, all churches are dissolved into two kingdoms, one of light and one of darkness. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth for a few minutes. This will calm your body and focus your mind on my words. It will allow you to listen to the higher frequencies in my words. Try to do it sitting up, because if you lie down, you will fall asleep, and then you may be unaware of the lesson that is pouring out right now over you. You must reach out to this energy first, and then it will envelope you in its power and protect you. A short time ago, we just completed an historic election in America. Now, I am reaching out to you for an historic election for the planet Earth. If you choose to do what I am asking you to do, you may still die here, but you will be reborn on a new world without death and violence. Still, many of you will choose the physical wealth of this world. For that choice, you will remain here, on this world, but we will no longer be your victims. This is a sure election, and there is no one that will choose for you. Search your hearts right now, and you will know I speak the truth. As you extend your thoughts to the love I have been describing, you may become aware of another world in sync with this one. It is sort of like another dimension that you will get to see. It is right here with us, but you must choose to see it and be with it. I am asking you to take that journey with me. Prove now whom you will follow. Enoch stepped up behind Riker as he pushed back from the microphone for a minute. He placed his warm hand on Riker's left shoulder and leaned down to meet him face to face. You have placed things in motion now, Mr. President. It's time to leave this place. But before we do, there is something you must do. What more can I do? Asked Riker. Enoch withdrew from his pocket a small gold tablet. It was very thin, and it was very curious in its detail. It was shiny and clean, like it was brand new, but it had the feel of something that was older than the earth itself. Enoch handed the relic about the size of a small paperback book to Riker. "What do I do?" asked Riker. "Place your right thumb in the small square in the lower right corner of the side with the writing on it," said Enoch. Riker held the strangely heavy tablet in both hands for a moment and looked at it. Slowly he let it go with his right hand and placed his thumb under the small square. The tablet vibrated slightly in his hands like it was turning on or something. He removed his thumb. The symbols on the surface of the tablet began to illuminate, as though they were backlit by some light within. A small, thin line of light began to form from the top center to the bottom. "What do I do now?" asked Riker.
"Break it," instructed Enoch.
"Break it? Like snap it in two in the center?" asked Riker.
"Yes, Mr. President. Snap it into two pieces." With that, Riker gripped the tablet in his two hands and bent the stiff tablet between them. At first it resisted, as though it was titanium and not pure gold, and then suddenly, without warning, the tablet snapped in two pieces. At that moment there was a shudder in the mountain complex, like a soft explosion had taken place. The difference was that it had the feeling of pressure being released from something around them. The vibration continued for about 1 minute, and then it trailed off into silence.
"We must leave now, Mr. President," said Enoch quietly.
"Why? What did I just do?" asked Riker.
"That, Mr. President, is what is known through the historical writings as the sixth seal," said Enoch.
"It is written, 'And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of the heavens fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, and she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" recited Enoch. This is the process of the union of the polarity described by Dr. Wesson earlier today. Both of the Earths contribute a part of the mortal experience that humans enjoy on this planet. Some people are aware of the beautiful and pure things of the higher earth. Some people only see the dust and weeds and death of the lower earth. Over the past generation, these two types of people have become increasingly unaware of each other. In one observation, the human sees the endless variety of nature and the peaceful harmony of man within it. There is challenge and limitation, which the soul longs for more than anything else in the universe. There is room for exploration and discovery. There is room for new life and an abundance of love. And really, there is no need for the rule of law, because humans of this type spontaneously obey this higher law. To them, this world is the closest thing to heaven they can imagine. In the other observation, the earth is here simply to conquer and consume. Humans with this heritage and propensity gain insatiable pleasure from causing the suffering of others. The hereditary drive they feel for destruction and oppression is as powerful as the desire to reproduce. Like their great ancestral father, Cain, they slay others and take what they have. They cannot dream of anything. They cannot produce anything except the opportunity to rape and murder and oppress the peaceful humans of this planet. They destroy everything they can find, like the locusts described in history. They plague the earth in a similar way, consuming every resource and every green thing in their path, if they are not stopped by good men. Well, now, at the time of the fourth new moon of this year, the earth has shown us her readiness to deliver. The man who has been prepared and chosen by the people has explained to the world from one source at one time the challenge of this time. And he has now broken the sixth seal in accordance with the prophecy. Now these things will come to pass, and the human race of this world will inherit what it will, either eternal light and goodness, or outer darkness and the absence of innocent victims from which it gains its only pleasure, Enoch explained. Please, Mr. President, let us go outside and see the dawning of a new day and a new age. With that, the President handed the two pieces of the tablet back to Enoch and stood up to leave the radio room in which only the two of them and Bet remained. It seemed like it had been hours since the battle. Bet was exhausted and fragile as she stood to walk out with Riker's arm supporting her. Enoch was behind them as Riker opened the door into the hallway. They looked out down at the floor, and there was nothing there. There was no body of Agent Smith. There was no blood. The holes remained in the door, so they knew they had not imagined it. They walked down the hallway to the large cement pot behind which Orphan and Loretta hid for protection. They were not there. They walked back up the hallway to the communications center lobby, and there were also no bodies and no blood. The chair and the couch were put back in their place, but Rhino, Kyle, and Dick, as well as the agents and the soldiers, were gone. Take the elevator down to the first floor and take the golf cart. Return to the Camp David access door, said Enoch. Agent Enoch, I will need you to come with us, said Riker. My path takes me elsewhere, Mr. President. The others will meet you outside the mountain complex at the access door at Camp David. I will see you at another time, said Enoch. They both knew it was true and inevitable. This tall, pale-skinned man was calm and pure and seemed to possess knowledge, or at least a confidence, far beyond his young appearance. His blue eyes looked at both of them and seemed to say that they were going to be safe now. The elevator door closed quietly, separating them from Enoch, and began its slow descent to the bottom floor of Building E. There was a single golf cart parked outside the double glass doors of Building E. It was the same cart Bet and Loretta had used several hours before. Several days, who knew? It was timeless in the oversized tunnels of Site R. There were no clocks that they could see in the complex except for the inside individual offices on the wall. The lighting remained unchanged year after year. Riker imagined what it would be like to escape a cataclysm down here, living with 3,000 other people. Would the human race go crazy? Would they all end up pale like Enoch and John? He helped Bet sit in the cart and belted her in the passenger side. Where are they? She asked in a distant and exhausted voice. I think they're outside the complex, he answered. We're going now. He pressed on the accelerator, and the cart surged silently down the giant hallway toward the small passage that led to the forest at Camp David. They were both silent until they made the turn down the passage lined with the yellow LEDs. Do you really believe what you said to the people? She asked.
Well, I had never heard of it before just a few days ago.
And don't forget this morning, or yesterday, I don't know now when it exactly was. We've been down here for who knows how long. We went through all of Dr. Wesson's data, and yours, and Rhino's. The science is a big stretch for me, but there doesn't seem to be anything that sounds too outrageous. Considering what Orphan saw, and the evidence of the unwavering long-term focus of evil in this world, I suppose I do believe it. I said it like I believe it, said Riker. I've been living my life with my head for so long it's hard for me to feel anymore, she began. I have protected myself from feeling, except for the rage I have against the machine of government and oppression. It's like they don't want us to do anything or think anything on our own without their approval, you know what I mean? More than you know. When I started my campaign, all I came up against was this regulation or this fee or that law or that rule that would not allow me to enter the race, even though I knew it was legal. It was unfair. Well, I guess the establishment's candidates took their play acting a little too seriously, and the name calling and mud smearing became so repulsive to so many people that millions of people wrote my name in the slot for president. Now, the whole world is coming apart, literally. Well, I'm glad you got the job. I didn't vote at all. Now I wish I had, so my words would mean more. But I think you're the right man for the job. Hopefully, you can fix all this crap, she said as she took a deep cleansing breath. It isn't as easy as one might think. Hell, one of the Joint Chiefs just tried to assassinate me. Do you think there's anyone in the government I can trust? Yes, I do. You can trust those guys in the suits. You could trust Hadid. You could trust... And her words were choked off by the sadness inside her. Smith. Hey, hey. In some sense, Enoch was right. That was his job. That level of commitment to a government job is like nothing I have ever imagined. But those guys are a special group inside that special job title. They have a global order that puts them in front of every bullet aimed at every world leader. I get it now, but I didn't at first, he said. He gave everything he had to this order. I doubted him. My last words to him were angry. I was confused and scared, she sobbed quietly, as if to say these words too loudly would cause her to burst open in endless crying. I'm sure he didn't take it personally, Bet. Well, for what it's worth, I'm making a change in my life. That's for sure. This hurts too badly. We're almost there. We'd better be getting there soon. This card is beginning to lose some of its get up and go, he said lightly. Well, if I remember, it's just a little further up ahead, she said, trying to recover from her state of mind. The cart rolled forward in the ethereal passageway, with the yellow LEDs relaxing both of them. Within a few minutes, the orange glow from the lights inside the cart charging room were visible up ahead. The cart slowed, and Riker turned into the room. All of the carts were parked there, except the one they were driving. Well, that's reassuring. Everyone else is already here. Let's get out of here. Maybe we can find a good cup of coffee. Yeah, I mean, yes, Mr. President. Bob. You can call me Bob, as long as there aren't any cameras, he chuckled. Thanks for being so kind. Oh, that's no problem. I'm sure we still have a lot of work to do yet. Let's go.